I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Mocha Bombs talk about how to take care of yourself while taking care of everybody else. That's pretty important stuff in these stressed out times. But first, we're continuing our focus on the financial crisis. We're talking about minority investors. For years, minorities, particularly blacks and Latinos, were less likely to invest in the market than whites, even with comparable incomes. Now, financial advisors have to explain this new and volatile financial landscape to anxious clients who may have been skeptical about the markets to begin with. To talk more about that, I'm joined by Wesley Watkiss. He's the managing principal for the investment firm W&W Group, LLC. Luis Barajas, he's a financial planner and author of The Latino Journey to Financial Greatness. And John Simons, senior personal finance editor of Black Enterprise Magazine. Welcome to you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
John, I want to start with you because you've been covering this stuff for years. Ariel Mutual Funds and Schwab have been conducting surveys of higher income African American and white households for 10 years now, comparing their savings and investment attitudes and behaviors. It showed that blacks relative to whites have been less willing to invest in the stock market. They prefer more conservative investments. Why is that?
Well, It's a really good question. I'm not sure exactly why it is. It may have to do that in general when you poll minorities across the board about their general faith in the institutions of this country, whether it's financial or health, there's always a sort of lack of trust that comes into play.
They don't trust the markets necessarily. They're more comfortable with things that are sort of more tangible, like real estate. Is that Wesley, you have a thought about this?
Absolutely. I think that when you speak and talk about minorities, that when it comes to if we're going to go in the direction of investing, we do look at those things that are tangible, things that we can see, touch, and feel. That's why I think so many of us that get exposed to it, at least initially, go the route of real estate because it's something you can touch. In terms of the stock market, I think the reason why minorities do not get as involved as they should, a lot of it is exposure. Mm-hmm. It's not dinner table talk. It's something that our parents didn't do or our grandparents did not do. So this is brand new to us. And even when I'm speaking with, whether it's students or adults, but especially younger people, a lot of times my greatest obstacle is not the individual that I'm speaking with, but it's their parents, because now they're venturing down a road that their parents
don't understand.
That don't understand.
Mr. Barajas, what about you? What's been your experience? You specialize in servicing the Latino community.
Yeah, especially working in the barrios as well. You know, what happens is most Latinos that are in the United States are coming from countries and that there's a lot of corrupt politics and corrupt financial institutions. And that's where the lack of trust is. They lack trust in banks. I mean, only 50% of Latinos are using banks in the United States. Only 25% of Latinos are using 401ks. 75% are not.
And so what are you telling people now? Mr. Barajas, stay with me. What are you telling people now? Are they looking at these headlines and saying, I was right to keep my money in a coffee can in the closet?
No, I'm educating them. The problem is that in most barrios, what we have is their financial planners are real estate agents or insurance agents. They think that financial planning is about a product. We really need to educate them and let them know that they have to use the banks, because what's happening is they're going to those payday advances or check cashing places, and they're paying a ton of fees. I mean, the interest rate on a payday advance for a week is about 400%. And so we have to educate them that they need to use the banks and show them just basically that the institutions are safe.
Is it a harder sell now that people are seeing all this stuff in the news about banks being unsafe? Is it harder?
It's a little harder sell, but not really. You know what? I'm thinking about it. Not really. The problem is that there's no one out there educating them. There's a lot of financial institutions that are putting out pieces on how to use banks. But people, especially in the barrios, need a lot of handholding. They need a lot more seminars. They need people they can trust who are going out there. Unfortunately, the problem is in the past, most of the predators have been other Latinos.
Wesley, what about you? Are your clients needing more handholding now?
Definitely so. In this environment,
well, do they feel betrayed? I wonder, because I think it part of the a lot of first generation financial planners, as Mr. Barajas was telling us, need that first generation investors a lot of times need a lot of handholding. They need to be persuaded about why it's important to diversify holdings, why it's important to get involved in equities, particularly when you're young and you can afford to take a risk. Do people now feel that they were betrayed, that they were sort of encouraged to do something which they were skeptical about, and now they're seeing their worst fears come true?
I think if they feel betrayed, I think that would stem from who they're working with. I think that when you lay the proper foundation and when you develop the relationships, that during periods of times like this, which, and this is a historic time, that it kind of carries you through that time. Because I said, okay, well, Wesley said that, you know, there are going to be some down times in the market. And what I try to do with my client base, or if I'm doing workshops or seminars, I say, even with all of the volatility or chaos that's going on in the marketplace, there's always opportunity in chaos. You just have to find it.
I think that's the key. Like you guys have been saying, education is something that's really important. And showing people the history of the market. I mean, you know, just show them the money. In other words, the market tends to rebound from situations like this. If you got nervous last week and pulled your money out and sort of cashed out, you locked in some really, some hard-to-take losses. If you had stayed in until yesterday, you would have gained back some of that. And hopefully yesterday wasn't a sort of negative lesson for people. Hopefully people who sort of rode out last week understood that the market bounces back. And historically, after lows, the market rebounds. And people who stay in during the low period and sort of, you know, just bite the bullet, end up gaining more than people who took their money out, put it back under the mattress.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with financial experts Wesley Watkins, Luis Barajas, John Simons about minority investments and the economic crisis. We'd like to hear from you. Are you an investor of color who's worried about losing your nest egg? Are you going to wait out the financial crisis? Are you trying to get your money out now? To tell us what you think and to hear what other listeners are saying, visit our blog at npr.org/tellmemore. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522. John Simons, I wanted to ask you, because Black Enterprise is all about educating the small investor, small business person, especially as people kind of move their way up through the kind of the financial ladder. The magazine has always advised its readers to work toward home ownership as a means of building wealth. We were talking just a few minutes ago on the program that some people are now claiming that the present crisis is a result of too many mortgages going to high-risk minority borrowers. Are you concerned? Have you been concerned over the course of time that some people are jumping into home ownership before they are properly prepared or properly educated about these mortgage instruments?
I'm certain there were some people who were not prepared to jump in. I really wanted to jump through the mic during that conversation. I wasn't on because, you know, my main question is, what percentage of all loans given during this period were given to minorities who didn't meet the standards? No one's shown me those numbers. I think there were some people who were duped, but largely the message is still that the foundation of wealth building is built on your home and built on home ownership. That's a message that we're still giving to our readers.
What is your take on this investment gap that African Americans, and Luis has given us the sort of figures for Latinos, but African Americans are far less likely to be in the market. They're half as likely to be in the market as whites, even when they are higher income, and that more African Americans report that they first start investing as a result of having a 401k or other employer-sponsored retirement plan. For a lot of whites, it's investing starts much earlier. What's your take on that? And is that, in fact, I mean, I think is it possible that then that sort of conservatism is perhaps an advantage in these uncertain times?
Well, it's actually not an advantage. It's certainly fine I think it's nice to have a varied sort of portfolio of investments. If you're interested in real estate, then you know, it's fine to be an investor in real estate. But you really should look at the stock market, particularly at stocks, for good sort of long-term gains.
Wesley, what's your...
It's a matter of the reason that I think, you know, someone mentioned earlier in the show that it's a sort of family history thing that takes over. For instance, my grandmother owned a lot of rental property in Brooklyn, New York, and you know, she, that was the way that she invested. She didn't, she never talked about the stock market. She talked about, you know, sort of either buying more property or getting the most out of her current property. And so in my family, we had this sort of inherited notion that real estate was the way to sort of make your money, make money.
Wesley, what are you telling people now?
That there's opportunities. I think that there are things on sale. And to answer some of the things that you recently asked, some of the questions you recently posed about the conservatism of African Americans, we'll take this period in time where the market has dropped the past, let's say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we'll say, well, I'm glad I did not participate because look what happens. But what I explain to people is 6 months from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, the period in time that we went through over the past 3 weeks, let's say, will be just a blip on the screen. So not getting involved, it will have benefited you for an extremely short period of time. But if you do anything, like the other panelists are saying, on a long-term basis, it's not going to be to your advantage.
So and like you were,
Luis Barajas, what are you telling people?
Well, I'm telling people that right now there's things that you can't control. You can't control what's happening with the interest rate or the markets, but there are things they can control. And they, you know, most people that I talk to that are overlooked and overwhelmed, they don't have any savings reserves. They don't have any life insurance. They haven't, you know, if they own a property, they haven't done an estate plan. I mean, there's so many things that go with this, you know, setting the proper financial foundation. And these are things that people can do right now.
Like what?
Well, again, most people don't have an emergency savings account. You know, they don't even have a savings account. They haven't even thought about investing into their 401k. I mean, that 75% that I'm talking about need to start putting some money away. They're depending upon Social Security to be their retirement plan. They need to take a step back and focus on just filling out the paperwork to get started, and then learning about investments. We're seeing some big, big problems right now. We're seeing people that are not educated in this, what's happening right now, and they're not moving their 401k from their equities to their money market. They're pulling the money out, and they don't understand the consequences that they're going to have to report this as income and then pay penalties on this amount. Almost up to 40% of this will be end up paying, going back to Uncle Sam. So there's a lot of education right now that needs to be done, but there's so many things that people can have control over. Again, but you know, no one knows what the market's going to do today or tomorrow, or what interest rates are going to do today or tomorrow. But families can start taking control of their own personal finances.
Luis Barajas, you know, you also work with a lot of small business people.
I sure do.
As well. I'd love to hear what they're saying right now. Have you noticed a lot of clients affected by? Are they getting their credit cut off? Are they? What are they doing? What are you telling people to do?
They're going through their credit lines. They're going through. I mean, they're losing a lot of business. Again, they weren't prepared for this. Most of the time, small business owners have started businesses out of necessity. Again, I tend to work with the more of the impoverished people throughout the country, and they're going through, they've already used the equity lines in their home. They're really scared and they don't know what to do. And then again, they're not able to go get any loans right now. I haven't heard anybody, or the SBA step up to, you know, mention about how they're going to help the small business owner as well.
I see. And that's something you'd be like to hear from the government, too. You'd like to hear more emphasis on the small business person. Wesley, what about you? You work with small business people as well, I would imagine. And this is probably the first generation of people who perhaps some of them may be first generation people having something to invest. What are you telling them? And are you seeing effects with them, or credit lines being pulled,
definitely,
home equity lines being frozen?
Definitely. Just to reiterate what your other panelists are saying, same thing. I have small business people that were trying to get renovations done to their building, for example, where credit lines have been frozen, and they weren't prepared. But we live in a credit-oriented economy. That's one of the reasons why it was so important for the government to do, you know, right, wrong. You may not agree with all of the facets of the plan, and I don't think any of us know all of the different facets of the plan, but right or wrong, they had to do something to get that market going again, because without credit in this economy, it's going to stop.
John Simons, are you concerned that there will be a loss of long-term wealth in the Black and Latino communities as a result of this? I know we've talked a lot about sort of the short-term volatility, but long-term, do you think that this is going to be a period we look back on as one in which was a sort of a temporary blip, or was there actually, do you think, an actual kind of retrenchment here or an actual loss of wealth?
No, I think this is a temporary blip. I hate to sound like a market worshiper, but, you know, in general, the market always, you know, it always goes up. You know, historically, that is a fact. And, you know, there are little sort of downturns in the market, and these are perfect opportunities. You know, if you're a young person who hasn't sort of gotten involved in your 401k at work, this is a great time to do it. This is like a sort of bargain basement fire sale. Things are cheap. There are a lot of very good stocks that have gone down in sympathy with the rest of the market. That sort of represent very good companies that have good management, global reach, et cetera, that will in the long term do very well. So the lesson here is, you know, the lesson here is to fight the fear.
Wesley, what's your final thought?
I think that, unfortunately, a lot of minorities are going to look at this point in time and say, that's why I don't invest. Because the education is still, it just isn't there yet. And hopefully in years to come, it'll get better and things will get better. But I think when we look back in periods of time, whether it's this time, whether it was the dot-com crash, whether it was the 87 crash, we, unfortunately, too many of us use those times as reasons not to, as opposed to looking at those times as opportunities.
Louis, final thought from you?
Well, you know, Michelle, I've just recently written a book called Overworked, Overwhelmed, and Underpaid. And, you know, I want people to understand that, you know, they can take control of what's going on right now in their own personal lives and not to feel so overwhelmed. We're seeing a lot of personal tragedies, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes. There's a lot of, forget about the fear, there's just a lot of pain out there. And so I want people just to kind of, you know, take a long-term focus and go out and get some help right now. There's a lot of people who are willing to help you, and the Internet's a great place to start as well.
Okay, I guess that's advice that anybody could have, no matter what his or her ethnic background. Thank you so much. Luis Barajas is a financial planner, author of The Latino Journey to Financial Greatness, among other works. He joined us from NPR West. Here with me in our Washington studio is Wesley Watkiss. He's the managing principal for the investment firm W&W Group, LLC. He was here with me. And John Simons is the senior personal finance editor of Black Enterprise Magazine. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Gentlemen, I thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.